in that section of Romans is dealing with the relationship of Israel to the Lord, and what about the church coming in? Does Israel have a future? What's going to happen to Jews in the years to come? And so Paul is concerned for that. He's a Jew, and we're going to start reading in Romans chapter 11. We've done 9 and 10, and so we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 11, and as we're reading this, hope you remember that Paul, of course, is a Jew. He was raised as a very devout Jew. He was a rabbi among the Jews. And so there was a tremendous interest that he had in his own people, in the Word of God, in the Old Testament. And so we're going to read, Jeremy's going to read for us here. And Jeremy, let's start reading the whole chapter. It's kind of lengthy. What we'll do is read the first 10 verses of Romans 11.
Our faith then has God passed away equal? Certainly not, for I also am an Israelite, and the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not passed away equal in equal. You, or do you not know what the scripture says of Eli? Now he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of worth, otherwise grace is no longer grace. But it is of worth, it is no longer grace. Otherwise worth, it is no longer worth. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stubborn eyes, and that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. This very day, and David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened, so that they do not see and bow down their back always.
And you want to notice, especially these first verses here of chapter 11. Now, as he begins, Paul emphasizes the fact that he is a Jew. He says, I have an intense interest in this whole subject. I'm not a renegade. I haven't turned my back on the Jewish people. I'm a Jew, and I feel very keenly their relationship to God as a nation. And so he wants to stress that and make it very plain that he says, I'm an Israelite of the seed of Abraham. And he tried with Benjamin. So I'm a good Jew. I've got a good pedigree. And he stresses that fact. So he wants people to realize that. He's not coming in as someone who's prejudiced against the Jews or anything like that. But now, what about the Jewish people and their relationship now? What Paul is emphasizing in the first 10 verses is God has not cast his people off permanently. And there are some today, there's a line of teaching that says God is through with Israel forever, period, as a nation. And he's never again going to have any special interest in them as a nation, the people of Israel. They're sinners. And all the scriptures of the Old Testament that speak of a future for Israel and the glory that Israel will have in the future, anything like that, they are applied to the church. They're all fulfilled in the church. Now, there's an element of truth in this, in that some of these promises that are given to Israel, now that the church really made up of people from every tribe and nation. The church is God's people today. And he's stressing that. So he wants to get a balance here in this area. Does Israel, though, have any future, even though today the church is taking this place of being able to say, we are God's people, as Peter points out in 1 Peter 2. We're a chosen nation, we're a royal priesthood, and a holy priesthood, so forth. Terms that were spoken of Israel now are applied to the church. Now he points out that the rejection hasn't been complete. It isn't that every Jew is rejected. He says there's been always been a remnant in the Jewish nation, in a sense, although God had such an interest in them as a nation. Not all of them were ever saved. There was always a remnant. There was a part of the Jewish people who were true believers. And he gives the example here of Elijah, who was very discouraged. And remember, he was running from Jezebel, and he was very discouraged and downhearted, and he was very depressed. And as he cried out to the Lord, he said, Lord, I just want to die. He said, I'm the only one left. No one else left that really will stand for you and believe in you. And the Lord said, no, wait a minute. I've got 7,000 great men who haven't bowed to me to Baal. They're still worshiping me. You're not the only one. So Paul emphasized it. He says, see, there was a remnant even then when there was so much idolatry and so much heathenism, really, in Israel. There was an element. There was a remnant of those who believed in the true and living God and worshiped him. So he wants to stress that fact that there's never been a time when all of Israel were believers in the full sense of the word. There was always a remnant, a godly remnant. And so he would emphasize this and bring this before us so that we don't get any, have a wrong outlook or balance. Now, he emphasizes too in this passage, salvation is based on grace, not on works. It's never been on the basis of works. And Israel got off on this, and they began to focus just on the works and keeping the law and keeping all the ordinances and keeping the traditions of the elders. All their works, whatever they did, this would qualify them forever. This would give them righteousness with God. And Paul is emphasizing the fact that's never been true. It wasn't true in the time of Moses or in the years that followed. It's never been true that anyone was right with God, was forgiven on the basis of his works. It's always been grace. And along with the law being given, you have all the instruction about the sacrifice. So that when Israel sinned, there was a way of dealing with sin. And it was through blood sacrifice. And this is always the thing that was stressed. So he wants to make that very plain too. There's always been a remnant, never been all Israel that have been saved. And it's always been on the basis of grace and of the individual's repentance and faith in the Lord. So he would emphasize this fact as he deals here with this matter of is Israel going to be permanently put away as a nation. Now, Israel today, he emphasizes this blind. Israel is blind. How can it be they read these Old Testament scriptures and they don't see that in Christ they're fulfilled? And what he says is they're blinded. They're turned away from the Christ, and it just seems like there's some veil over their eyes. They can't really see the truth. concerning the Lord Jesus. And Paul was like that for a while, remember, in his zeal to persecute the church, in his having people imprisoned and executed. He was so blind, he said, I did it ignorantly, unbelief. He was blind. Now, in the rejection of Christ and turning away, then it just seems an increasing blindness that's coming to their mind. And so you see Jews, you know, that will be going into the synagogue on the Sabbath. They're going to hear the Word of God. They're going to read from the Torah. And they're going to read these scriptures. And yet they're going to be so blind to the fact that here they are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. Wherever the apostles went, preaching the Word, they went into the synagogue first. And they would begin to show them from the Old Testament scriptures, these are fulfilled in Jesus. Now, don't you see that? Don't you see in the way He lived, He died, He was raised again? All of these things that are predicted in the Old Testament are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. And some would believe, but some would turn away, and some would seem like a veil would come down before their eyes. They chose not to believe, and they become increasingly darkened as far as the truth is concerned. And so he stresses this very strongly in that opening section where there's a blindness in connection with this. Think of them today if they read passages like Isaiah 53. Thinking of the Lord Jesus, and so beautifully fulfilled in His death for us sinners. All who had people gone astray, we turned everyone to His own way. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of death. Who is it talking about? Jews read that. What does it mean? It can't be that Israel has carried the sins of the world. It's talking about an individual here who's to come, who's going to be the Lord's servant. Behold my servant. And he's going to take the sin of the world upon himself. Oh, how blind they are. The word being read in synagogues every Sabbath. And they don't see it. Here and there, there are individuals that will, but this turning their back on the Lord Jesus seems like just a blindness to come over them and see. So he is acknowledging their blindness and their confusion, their refusal to accept the truth here about the Lord Jesus. We're going to read now beginning at verse 11 and read down to verse 21.
I say then, I if some hope that this is false, certainly not. If he that falls provokes them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles. How much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them. And for if their being cast away is the reconciled of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were gratified and among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of the unbelief. They were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be hostile, but fear.
Yes, thank you. In this section, he's going to emphasize that Israel's fall, in a sense, brings blessing to the whole world. God no longer is focused on Israel as a nation. Now the focus is spread to the whole world. It was as though in the Old Testament he was focused primarily on Israel and saying, through you, the message should go out to the world. But now, no longer is Israel in the same position, and he has been, as a whole, rejected. The Lord Jesus said, remember, your house is left to you desolate. You turned your back on me, you've rejected me, you wept over Jerusalem. He says, how often I've gathered your children as a hen gathers his chicks under her wings, and you would not. And he wept. Now God says, the message is going to go out to all the world. And Christ, if you remember, he went to the synagogue first, primarily, and he told his disciples, go to the Jews. The message goes to the Jews first. They have a right to hear, first of all, the Messiah has come, and but then the message is going to go out. Remember the Lord Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that the message now is going out throughout the world. And so Israel's being put aside, there's just increasing blessing for the Gentiles. It means all the nations that are not Jews. Now here's a figure here of a tree, an olive tree. And in the Old Testament, God would oftentimes speak of Israel as a vine or as a fruit tree, an olive tree. And this is now what he's going to use as this figure to convey what's happened. He says the unbelieving branches, in other words, those Jews who are not believing, have been broken off away from this olive tree, and believing Gentiles now are being grafted in. And it's a figure, really, of God's people who are people of faith, who have divine life in them. And he says the church now is a part of this great company of people, this tree of faith, you might say, that goes back to Abel. You read through Hebrews 11 and talks about by faith Abel and by faith right on down through the years. And so he's emphasizing that there's a unity to those who are really of faith. But the unbelieving Jews have been cut off from being connected with that tree. And today, Israel as a whole is unbelieving and rejecting. One of the hardest countries to do missionary work in is Israel. And those that do convert and become what they call Messianic Jews find it very difficult to exist and to really function in his discriminating against. If you go to Israel and you're Jew by race, you say, I want to immigrate. And they talk to you and you say, well, I've become a Christian. I believe now Jesus is the Messiah that was born. You can't come into Israel. This is only for those who are the Jewish. And you may be a Jew by race, but you're not going to become an Israeli citizen. So there's discrimination, and they're still blind as a nation. They're cut off freedom from God's true people, the people of faith. So he stresses that fact, and he says the Jews, the believing Gentiles, now are grafted in. Well, you graft in, of course, you connect that branch you're grafting into the very stalk, into the trunk of the tree, and it now begins to draw on the light, and it's united with that tree. It no longer has a separate identity. And one of the things he emphasizes here, I think, is that there's a unity to the family of faith. Hebrews 11 emphasizes this as well. And so that today the Gentiles now are a part of this wonderful family. A family, remember that Jesus said to some of the Pharisees, he said, you know, you're going to be on the outside, but there are going to be people coming from every tribe and nation. They're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom, emphasizing the unity of the family. So while there's a difference in the way God's working with people, yet there is a unity of all those who are men and women of faith. And he emphasized very strongly. So if you're a believer, you've been grafted in to the figure of Jesus, so that now you're a part of this family thing. A family that has the very life of God flowing through. And so Jesus said, you know, you can be the best. So Jesus, I'm the vine, you're the branch. And so if you think of the figure here, he says, they've been broken off by unbelief. So if that unbelief stops, the time is going to come when they will be grafted back in. When faith comes, then believing Israelites will be grafted back in and become a part of God's renewed.